your boy Rage. I'm back. It's the Trying Times, episode 6. We're going to do the fucking home opener for Blue Mafia, babies. Blue Mafia, last year when the Bills, it became clear they were going to go on a run, started, well, I went back to a blog that I had started a few years back. I would do sort of one season preview blog since like 2015 or so, and starting back like Tyrod Taylor post Kyle Orton era. Been a fan my whole life, obviously, anybody who knows me here in Buffalo. But we're doing the Blue Mafia opening today. So we started the blog years back. Last year during the great run, it became a little bit bigger, and I get quite a bit of page views on there, and I love football. It's probably one of the top three things I know the most about. I'm representing Team USA today. The Olympics are on. I got some fucking ping pong on here. There was soccer on earlier, crazy match. Netherlands was involved. I like them. Always like their orange uniforms. We do it all here. We do sports. We do, you know, peak sports is something that we're going to get into at some point in our lives here. You and I, the viewers, we're going to talk about that peak performance, entertainment, artistry, kinship. That's the theme of Blue Mafia. That's the theme of the Trying Times. It's the theme of my life. Those are the four things that I love. Peak. My last name's Mountain. You get it? So that's going to be my brainchild. You know, I'm going to sort of grow this operation as big as I can with what I can, just so I can help people out there, help athletes out there. There's so much to deal with in today's world, and I feel like I've finally figured a few things out as an adult, as a man, as an American. So I'm recording. If you're not recording, you ain't living, man. So let's fucking get into it. It's the Trying Times home opener, Blue Mafia special. I'm going to tell you about a couple ideas I have, some cool stuff with the Bills, NFL news all around. A lot of drama. Not going to get into much of the drama, really, with all the COVID stuff and vaccines. I will probably touch a little bit on the NFL stuff, just regarding my opinion on it quickly. Not going to dive too far into it. But I also am going to talk about sort of the best divisional groupings of foursomes of quarterbacks. So think about it. I'm going to get into that a little bit, touch on a little bit of the NCAA football scene, and then just going to do some kind of preseason quarterback rankings and thoughts, because, like I said, it's one of the top three things I know the most about, and we'll kind of break down that, you know, the peak style of deconstruction. So that is performance, entertainment, artistry, kinship. So we'll kind of like take that theme, and we'll just continue to break stuff down here. You know me, thetryingtimes.com is sort of the off-the-field stuff, and as a former athlete and fan of sports generally, bluemafia.com is sort of the on-the-field stuff. So thanks for listening, guys. Audio everywhere, Apple Podcasts. It's the Reg in the Zoo Podcast Network. So we've got Reg in the Zoo, and then Trying Times is my work, and then this is sort of the first one of Blue Mafia, which is all my on-the-field kind of football, sports stuff. And maybe we'll get into just a little bit of Kanye, probably, just on accident. Thanks for listening. Let's go. It's Blue Mafia, baby. We're talking football. We're talking quarterback. We're talking spinning the fucking pigskin. We're talking dealing with off-the-field issues. We're talking about drama. We're talking about Aaron. We're talking about Josh. We're talking about Russell. We're talking about Wilson, Zach, Dorsey, all these names. I was thinking about why I do this before I got on today, because I don't have a whole lot of listeners, but I got some out there, and part of my job at work is really like getting people to see digital opportunities, and it's something that I take passion with at work, and here on the pod I try to be as planned out and succinct as possible. But what really gets me going is football passion, people reaching their potential. So I'm here to just help you do that, hopefully, and maybe get you to start writing, start recording your own thoughts. And it's cool to keep them because you look back at them, and someday I'm sure, you know, they're going to mean something. And just putting stuff on the record has been really interesting. So thanks for listening. So the NFL, lots of drama. Obviously, we have a local player here, a slot receiver, getting really into it on one side of the argument. We've got the NFL coming down like the Roman Colosseum and absolutely dismantling any sort of NFL HIPAA regulations with regards to possibly, you know, automatic losses. They won't be playing games rescheduled at the end of the year. Players not getting game checks, money going into pools for whatever. But it's clear to me that, unfortunately, it shows how much the NFL can't take another loss, and they're doing whatever they can as a business to prevent any chance at lost revenue. And the teams and the players would obviously lose out on revenue if they were to have to lose a game. But the NFL wants to make sure that if you aren't getting the Kool-Aid in the arm, no disrespect to anybody who's gotten it, just a joke, but if you haven't got that Kool-Aid stanger, then the rules are a little bit different. If you have and you test negative a couple times, you're probably back on the field. But if a team for some reason has an outbreak among unvaccinated, then we're getting into some trouble. We got guys getting in trouble, and we got guys arguing on Twitter instead of just talking offline. It goes to show you what world we live in. It goes to show you why you're listening, to try and fucking understand all this shit. That's one thing I really want to touch on. Maybe that's why I do this here, is I don't know the answers to the test. I'm just out here studying with you. So if I ever say anything that offends you, let me know. Let's talk about it. But also, sports and life are obviously a lot different. And Bill Simmons says, you know, there's sports hate and then there's like real life hate. And that's a big thing to me, I think, too. But the real reason I might be doing this is just to help people see that there is no real answer. You know, I'm putting stuff on the record, trying to be right based on some knowledge that I have. But it's interesting to try and help people see that there's always another side, and a lot of things are not absolute. Nothing's absolute. We're all on this fucking quest, and now we're all dealing with this trying times lifestyle. So let's just all get together and think, you know. So let's think here. What do you guys think? Let me know what you think about the whole COVID thing. Like I said, I could see kind of both sides. I could see why a player doesn't want to get it or doesn't feel as though they need to. And then I could see why the NFL would feel like they would prefer if they did. So that's enough about that drama. Moving on to some more drama. Aaron Rodgers. I went on a little spat on Twitter. And first I typed out during the NBA Finals when the Milwaukee Bucks won the championship. Aaron Rodgers, who is apparently an owner, I didn't know. Fuck me, right? Aaron Rodgers was tweeting out about the game and like congratulations and all this stuff, and I just felt like it was kind of cornball. And I had first said something about like, oh God, cut it out, you're such a drama queen. And I haven't tweeted at him at all throughout all this drama. I actually liked him last year for one of the first years. I didn't always like him. I was a Favre guy, but I've grown to like him. But first I said something kind of immature, honestly, regarding like, oh, come on, you're just such a drama queen. Because it's like, you know, you're going to tug at the heartstrings of those people in that city. Like, I don't even live there. I'm not even a Packers fan or a Bucks fan, but I could at least appreciate how that would be dramatic for fans, coaches, players, teammates. I mean, we see how Devontae Adams now has not signed contract, possibly dead in the water, possibly not going to re-sign. Obviously, maybe that was predicated on if they signed Rodgers. It's like, everybody's waiting on you, dude. So after I said that, I kind of took a seat because I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude. You're talking to Aaron Rodgers. If you wanted to really talk to Aaron Rodgers, what would you actually think about trying to say if you only had one opportunity? Cool part about Twitter. It's like, maybe you can get in their head in a positive way. Obviously, negative shit is going to toxify anybody's day, but I had just said, amazing what a team can do when a leader never quits, and I got like 100 likes, and then it started into this big debate. You know, one guy said, from a weird almost like a burner account, I'm like, oh, is this Aaron? But it says, amazing what a team built around an MVP player can do when you actually have a good GM working to improve the team. And somebody said, oh god, he's never been given offensive weapons is such bullshit. If people talked about some of the O-lines he's had to deal with, I'd listen, but offensive weapons is BS and blah, blah, blah. But I found it interesting to see not a lot of people were willing to kind of step up and talk back to big bad Uncle Aaron. He's just a Cali boy with a little snarky attitude, guys. Come on. Somebody fucking talk some sense into this guy. And he's like, waiting for someone to give him some advice, I think. And here's my advice. Go play for the Packers one more year at least. They offered you the best money in football, allegedly. Just go play ball for the Packers one more year, dude. Do it 1 year. Enjoy yourself and then get the fuck out of Dodge and figure out where you want to go. That simple, bro. One more year. So enough about that. Respect to Rodgers. He's a fucking killer, and I love him. He's awesome. I like talking shit about him, though. He's a good dude. Moving on. We will talk a little bit about the Bills. Besides all the drama that's going on potentially in the locker room, which hopefully doesn't continue, I'm excited about this year, but I do want to sort of taper expectations. I did write a blog on BlueMafia.com, sort of like the first opening article, and I talked about some of the things that Josh Allen will have to overcome this year, one of which being crowd noise. And any quarterback that's played or anybody that's played and had to communicate on the field knows that if your team crowd is going crazy, then you're in a lot better shape. But also just the opposing defense and the energy that they get from a loud crowd, it's you can live off it like Allen does, and that's great, but will he be as cool, calm, and collected? We will see. As you guys know, if you read any of my work, you know I'm a huge, huge advocate for Ken Dorsey being the incumbent once the so chronically crowned Brian Daboll ends up somewhere. Because I don't think, unfortunately, I don't know if he's the guy that's going to get us over the top in the big moment. Josh Allen may be able to overcome some shortcomings there, but I think Ken Dorsey is a real killer when it comes to becoming a bigger name in this sport. Unfortunate to see Greg Knapp killed in a bicycle accident. Terrible, terrible to see. I looked up some information about him, and I knew it sounded familiar, but man, laundry list of teams he worked with. Starting out as like a quality control assistant with the 49ers, working with Peyton Manning and the Broncos during their Super Bowl run, pass game coordinator. He was currently going to be working with Zach Wilson, young kid out of BYU, Big City Lights. So that's just a tragic, tragic story. Ken Dorsey, turns out, was also part of his staff, well, as a player. But when Greg Knapp was at San Francisco, Dorsey was there. So sad to see, but you hope that Dorsey can see that he was lucky to have someone like that in his life for as long as he did. But overall, I'm excited about the Bills. We got camp starting soon. My boy Eric from Buffalogo was showing me some prototypes for a shirt that they may be releasing that I sort of gave an idea to him for. Might be some charity stuff going on with that. Looking forward to see what he puts together. It was just sort of, I gave him the idea, but it's Bills related, it's Josh Allen related, it's hopefully gets into some maybe some charity. But stay tuned on that front, because I've got a little surprise there. It's also going to incorporate some other Buffalo media, because I'm just a little French fry here, and I understand that. But who knows, maybe I can be a guest on one of their podcasts, or, you know, I'm not really trying to get famous over this. I'm just trying to get better and make some cool content, and maybe get a job doing it somewhere. Who knows? Maybe just do some remote stuff. Someday I'll be on NFL Network, you know, or maybe ESPN, or maybe Peak Sports Network. So the pass rush last year for the Bills was not exactly non-existent, but much like the run game, not great. We depended a lot on Josh Allen for just about everything regarding inspiration, turning games around, finishing. It's we've gotten a little spoiled. So Bills fans should probably temper expectations this year. I think, you know, I'm looking at maybe 9-7, 10-6, 11-, we've got more games this year. Shoot. So maybe like 10-7, 11-6, somewhere in that range. Probably 10-7. I could see us 10-7, 11-6. But that being only because of how competitive our schedule is, how weird of a year it may or may not be. We've got obviously this drama that is dramatic. We don't know how it's going to actually affect the outcome of the season, though. This is going to, though. Lost playoff seeds, this will be a problem. And that's why it's unfortunate and controversial. But generally speaking, if the Bills as a franchise can improve the pass rush and also pass secondary depth on known passing downs. It's obviously rule changes. The game's changed. We all know that, blah, blah, blah. So let's react. We got to have third down pass rush depth. Guys fresh coming in. Shout out Cole Brennan when he got absolutely dismantled by the Georgia Bulldogs and the Nokia Sugar Bowl. They just were rotating pass rushers because they knew they had no offensive line depth, and that team was just going to break down, and the running backs were going to break down in pass protection, and they just kept bringing in monsters. And that's what the Bills have accomplished. They've got monsters. So I'm really looking forward to that pass rush, and hopefully some of these guys that have bought into the Bills process and the McDermott way of life in the secondary will step up and be exciting in the depths of the secondary. And when I say depths of the secondary, I mean not only Trey White and, you know, Hyde, Poyer, the big names, Levi Wallace, Josh Norman, I don't think is on the roster, but, you know, the guys, you know. But let's hope that some of the guys we've drafted, the kid from Florida, Jackson, you know, who's the guy that returned the touchdown? Teron Johnson, who I've always loved. He's always hit. I just always wished he would get a little bit bigger shoulder pads, because he's always popping his shoulders out. It's like, bro, get some big old school Ronnie Lott pads and just fucking crush people. But looking forward to seeing what the depths on secondary and pass rush do, because it's not only the guys that start. It's to me, it's the guys that come in fresh and can just turn it on and ignite the pass rush and ignite the quarterback and blast his ass into the ground. So we're going to take a quick break. Thanks for listening. I'm going to come back and we're going to break down each quarterback grouping of the four prospective starting quarterbacks of each division. We're going to kind of rank them. We're going to kind of break them down at the Peak Sports breakdown. Thanks, guys.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening. It's Blue Mafia, babe.
So, thanks for listening, guys. It's Blue Mafia, home opener. We're in the home studio. Follow me on Twitter, Jer7Reg. I'm always tweeting, probably too much, kind of like shouting in a hallway as this podcast and many of my content probably seems at this point, because I don't got a whole lot of listeners, but I'm going to earn them, baby. I'm going to earn them through trust, love, and understanding. Sean McDermott, wisdom and understanding, shout out. So, let's take a look here. I want you to, if you disagree, if you agree, I want you to hit me up on Twitter. If you just go at Jer7Reg, Jer Mountain, just like a mountain. Yes, just like a mountain. It's my real last name. Yep. Everybody always doubts that, unless they saw me fucking spin the rock, you know, mountain rock solid, you know. But so we're gonna go over like. I want you to go on my Twitter and reply, though. It's pinned to the top of my page. I just have who's the best QB foursome and why. You'll see a big graphic there. But I'm going to read them off to the viewers now so you can kind of write your own list now. Go fucking write your list, and I want you to get on there. Shout out that one coach. The one coach from Last Chance U from Compton. Coach Brown, Jason Brown. Why don't you take your little fucking notebooks? Why don't you run down fuck? All right, anyways.
Here we go.
I'm going to just read them off. This is in no particular order. This is every division, four quarterbacks. And then I'll pick my favorite performer, entertainer, artist, and kinship. We'll explain more. So, one, Lamar, Baker, Burrow, Ben. Okay. Two, Allen, Tua, Wilson, Mac. Three, Mahomes, Herbert, Carr, Locke. Four, Tannehill, Wentz, Lawrence, Watson, Taylor. Five, Wilson, Stafford,
Kyler
with a K. You know who it is. I just said it because he's tiny. And Jimmy / Rook. Six, Brady, Darnold, Jameis, Ryan. Seven, Fitz,
let's go,
Jones, Dak, Hurts. Eight, Rodgers, Fields, Goff, Cousins, or rookie. So there, yeah, that's every foursome. So I know that probably sounds a little weird if you're listening in the car, but no, it doesn't, because you know the divisions because you're a football fan, because you listen to this podcast. So we're gonna break down who the top four are, generally speaking, right after this. Thanks, guys. It's Blue Mafia from the home studio, home opener, baby. We're going to break them down with the Peak Sports methodology trademark. Peak, P-E-A-K, performance, entertainment, artistry, kinship. Kinship being sort of all the feel-good stuff of sports, brotherhood, sisterhood, coming together, good, beautiful story. Artistry being sort of like the artist, the way that there's different styles of sport, there's different ways bodies can move, perform. Artistry, the way, basically the way people dress too, the entertainment of the dress of sport. Entertainment, obviously, who are the people that are going to entertain the viewers, who are the people that are going to put a show on with the way that they show up. And then performance, the people that are going to do enough to do the work on the field. Work off the field becomes the work on the field. It's a work of art. The entertainment, the kinship, the performance. So when you look at the list, once again, hit me up on Twitter at Jer7Reg. Let me know what you at least think the top foursome is by division, quarterbacks, and why. You'll see the list there. But when I think of performance, I look at the NFC South and I look at the AFC South. Performance, you know, Brady, Darnold, Jameis, Ryan. You know those guys are going to perform. Darnold, I think, will have somewhat of a rekindling in Carolina with that young coach. A little bit better weather, a little bit stickier ball down there. And Jameis, I think, is really going to thrive in New Orleans with Sean Payton. And hopefully they give him the keys to the castle. Matt Ryan, he's going to show up and perform. No hate to Ryan, but I'm ready to move on from him. And then the AFC South, we look at Tannehill, Wentz, Lawrence, Watson, and that's also an interesting division. So moving on, entertainment, AFC East, AFC West, and why? Obviously Josh Allen, obviously Patrick Mahomes, but also the NFC West, because the NFC West is loaded. Obviously we've got Stafford there now, you've got Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray's entertaining, and then you've also got the 49ers, who are, Kyle Shanahan's gonna always have quarterbacks playing well there no matter who's under center. But even though I have the AFC South under performance, I have it there based on a few things. Tannehill is going to perform with those receivers. How could you not? Wentz, he's going to perform with Frank Reich, hopefully for him. If he doesn't, yikes. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to perform with, you know, the coach there. They were 1-15 last year. Yikes. They're not going to be that good, but you know that Urban Meyer is going to turn it around eventually. And then the Texans, yikes, but Tyrod's going to show up and perform. He's going to put on a show for a couple days, a couple games. But the entertainment's obviously Josh Allen, and then the AFC East is going to be just plain out entertaining because of all the rookies. You got Tua, Mac, and also Zach Wilson, who are going to struggle, but it's going to be a hell of an entertaining year to watch. And the NFC West, we talked about a little bit there. It's just going to be entertaining to see what happens with Stafford and Sean McVay, the god of football. I don't think it's going to go that well. Unfortunately, I think Stafford's still going to get hurt, and that's just what's... He's aging. He's always gotten hurt. Good. I hope good on him, but I don't know. I don't know if he lasts the year. And then artistry, we're gonna kind of like look at the art of playing in the cold weather. So we're gonna look at the AFC North and the NFC North. And in the AFC, when you look at the art of the four different styles of quarterback, the AFC North, Ben Roethlisberger, big, lumbering, trying to come back in better shape, trying to improve and make one last run with a talented stable of receivers. Lamar, some people call him a running back playing quarterback. He's still amazing. Baker, he's short guy, fiery competitor, Burrow, beautiful artistic passer. And then kinship, we have the NFC South, because I mean, Brady, he's the ultimate leader. And the NFC East leaders, we got Dak Prescott, great leader. We got Fitz, great leader. And I mean, if you don't include Brady in the leadership category, you're kind of corny. But I like Jalen Hurts as a leader, and Daniel Jones, leader? Question mark. So that was just a quick breakdown. Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. It's Blue Mafia. It's the home opener podcast, first one. Check out BlueMafia.com. And once again, thanks, everybody. Love you guys.